Punxsutawney Phil didn't see his shadow, so you know what that means. There are going to be warmer days for POTA, and we'll get into more of that and more on Live Free and Ham. Hello, and welcome to Live Free and Ham Podcast. It's our bi-weekly show where we explore ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and in the Northeast. Whether you're a regular listener or a first-time guest, we're excited to have you here, and we appreciate your support. And we appreciate you. Thanks for listening to today's episode. All right, so let's get into today's show. I'm your host, call sign November 1, Juliet United Radio, and the gang's all here.
Paul, KF4TPY.
And Ryan, W1SNH.
And Todd, W1STJ, still a general.
Hey, roger, roger. All right, well, before we get into the show discussion, we always like to catch up and let our listeners know what's going on and where the crew might be off to next. As always, every month we will host our live stream show on our YouTube channel. We apologize for last January's because we had a cross of field day and winter field day, and we just didn't get a chance because we were having so much fun. So we will make it up in the February timeframe, but you always keep an eye on our keep updated on our socials website. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you do that and you'll get notified when we're live. And as always, the Road Less Traveled giveaway is still open. So if you want to get in on the action and pick the dates when Todd and I might get our kilo, now that Punxsutawney Phil gave us, you know, 6 weeks until spring, you can head on over and fill out giveaway, and hopefully we'll get you in there and you can win some great prizes, and you'll be able to see us live. So, all right. Well, with that, we are now going to dive into our favorite segment. And now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ. All right. Well, we all decided to rally with Todd. And in typical Live Free Ham and fashion, Live Free and Ham podcast fashion, man, I am tripping all over my tongue today. We'll be bringing you guys along. So here's the format. In each episode, our quiz master, Paul, he'll read three questions from the extra pool. And we'll be using hamstudy.org. So if you want to follow along, you can head on over there and get yourself an account and, come with us on this journey. So, as always, you know, we just want to let you guys know hamstudy.org is always a great app to study for any level of your ham radio license. You know, we've all used it. We all recommend it. We definitely aren't sponsors of this, but we want to make sure that if you are looking for to either get an upgrade or you're maybe looking to get your technician license, then, you know, head over there and get going on that process. You won't be disappointed, and you'll definitely be able to get closer to your goal of getting your ticket. All right. So before we go, we'll kick it off to the quizmaster. You know, he's already staged up and ready to go. Fire away, Paul.
All right. So, Todd, today we're doing questions from sub-element 4. And you should have gotten to this section already. So the first question, what does a third-order intercept level of 40 dBm mean with respect to receiver performance? A. Signals less than 40 dBm will not generate audible third-order intermodulation products. B. The receiver can tolerate signals up to 40 dB above the noise floor without producing third-order intermodulation products. C. A pair of 1 milliwatt input signals will produce a third-order intermodulation product that is 40 dB stronger than the input signal. Or is it D. A pair of 40 dBm input signals will theoretically generate a third-order intermodulation product that has the same output amplitude as either of the input signals.
Say that 6 times fast.
All right. And the answer is...
No pressure.
All right. I'm going to say D.
D is correct. A pair of 40 dBm input signals will theoretically generate a third-order intermodulation product that has the same output amplitude as either of the input signals. Great job.
Way to go.
All right. One. We got one for three. This is good. We're off to a good start here. Go ahead. Second question, Quizmaster.
All right. Which of the following limits the highest frequency signal that can be accurately displayed on a digital oscilloscope? Is it A, all of these choices are correct? B, the amount of memory? C, the sampling rate of the analog to digital converter? Or is it D, the Q of the circuit?
Ooh, the silence is deafening.
I'm going to say C. My final
C is correct.
Crushing it tonight.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
It's the audio book, baby.
Totally. Way to go.
Way to go.
It shows that you're studying, and the studying is paying off.
All right. Off.
Are you ready for the final question?
Yes.
What is the purpose of the preselector in a communications receiver? Is it A, to allow selection of the optimum RF amplifier device? B, to store often used frequencies? C, to increase rejection of signals outside of the desired band? Or is it D, to provide a range of AGC time constants?
All right. And the answer is...
All right, I don't remember seeing this question, but I'm going to go with B.
Oh. So the correct answer is C, to increase rejection of signals outside of the desired band.
Oh. Like Meatloaf says, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, we appreciate you playing along there, and not bad. You know, this is the second session that, you know, or episode that you've done 2 out of 3. Third. So, you know,
keep up the second one, 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah. So we are humming along here, making some good progress. You know, as the rule is, you can miss what, 5 out of the extra, I think it is. Is that
6?
I can't remember what that is. 6? Okay. So you're lucky 6. So
you can miss 6 out of the 50 questions.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. You have to get 37 correct.
So yeah, okay. Well, math is not our strong suit, guys.
I was like, wow, that's a little tough.
The technician in general, you're only allowed to miss 6.
Yeah. Well, so what I did, do the pre-test before I really studied, after I did the first test. And what did I say? I got like 26 or 24 out of the 50. So I got a good base going. So we'll see. Cool. We'll get there.
Okay. It's not bad for, you know, this is our third episode into this. So you're doing pretty good here. You know, if we, you know, keep it going, we'll have to go back at the very end and review.
Yeah, well, I've done 8 hours of the book on the audio book, and I've got 12 to go.
Well, there's only 650 questions, so.
Is that how many there are? 650?
650 questions.
Yeah.
Well, piece of cake.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like Ryan said, slice of pie, actually. I think Ryan likes pie instead of cake, but yeah, hey.
I do like pie.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen people, like one of my tests, the guy comes in, he did his technician, general, and extra all in one shot. Like, that's crazy.
There are some people that will. I've seen once one guy that I went to go test for my general did that. And I was just like, and he was just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And, you know, he passed all three. And I'm like, man, I wish I could be like you.
Photographic memory, like just reads the book and he just knows it. Yeah.
Yeah. We all can't be like that. All right, cool. Well, hey, that was an awesome, you know, start, a second, you know, attempt there. And so we'll keep plugging away at that. And as always, you know, if you are looking to get your ham radio license, you know, whether you are an existing technician or a general, please definitely head over to Ham Study. And if you are studying, you know, there is a bigger initiative across the interwebs called, you know, what they're calling Extra for Easter. But if you're also looking to get your general or technician, you know, you can play along and you can test online if you're ready to do that. So, you know, let us know. You know, we'd love to hear how your progress is and, you know, keep us updated because if this is helping you, hey, you know, we're all the better. And we know it's definitely helping Todd get closer to getting extra. And, you know, I'm having fun with it too as well. So I guess with that, let's kind of dovetail into our usual what's your ham radio week like? And starting off with Paul. You know, what's been going on with you? What's your ham radio week like?
Oh boy! Well, it has certainly been a week of learning the hard way on different things. It took me about 3 days of installing and reinstalling the Raspberry Pi desktop software and the ham clock in order to get my ham clock up and running above my desk. But I did finally get it. I found out that the key is being able to SSH from a different computer into the Raspberry Pi and changing the display resolution that way. Then it gets rid of all the black around the ham clock. And then I also had the exciting ability to take part in a VE session Friday morning. It was very early here, but it was noon in Romania, and so there's a unit out of Fort Campbell that is currently in Romania, and 18 soldiers were in a special class, and at the end of their class, as part of their final exam, they took the technician test, and those that wanted to and passed the technician test could also take the general. And so out of the 18 soldiers who tested, we had 14 who passed the technician test. Ooh. And two out of the 14 also got their generals.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
that's pretty cool. You did it.
That was
that's awesome.
That was a ton of fun. And it was very rewarding to take part in a VE session with active duty troops.
Dude, isn't that like, that's a, like the, I think some of the biggest rewarding feeling for me. I know, you know, well, more so I enjoyed, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about Winterfield Day later, but having new technicians get in front of radio and just watch their eyes light up and they're grinning ear to ear. And, you know, like, you know, you got them hooked when they walk away and then they come back like 10 minutes later and they just want more. And you're like, oh, this is perfect. They, you know, they're all for it. So, you know, I love to see that stuff and people test and get, you know, and pass. But more so I like the longer part of the journey too as well. So, yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Sorry, your ham clock was a little bit of a struggle there, but glad you got that sorted out. Ryan, what's been going on with your ham week?
Yeah, I got a couple of different projects cooking right now. So, first one is integrating the OHIS headset standard into the GoBox. Oh. And Mark had come out with a new product that is, he calls it the contest module. Mm-hmm. Well, allows two operators to plug in independent volume control, headset control, radio control, and it's really slick. But the form factor he's offering it as is it just sits flat. It's like a mixing board sits flat on the desk. Mm-hmm. And I'm contemplating taking it apart and kind of re-engineering it into a 1U plate so it can go into the Go Box on the front of the radio.
Oh, nice. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that would be a real nice. The ergonomics, I think, would be better, and it'd all be self-contained, and I don't need to pull it in or out and plug it in. It'd just be all wired up in the within the box.
So, now, just curious, the design and the ergonomics, are all the ports on one side of the box itself, or is it, will they all be just like pluggable, or is that just the radio side of stuff that you're hooking up and into?
So the radios would be all side would be all internal, and then it'd be whatever each person plugs into on the front of the Go Box.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
So yeah, it's I haven't started cutting anything apart yet, but I'm just right in the planning stages, so it's it'll be neat. It'll kind of be version 2.0.
well,
and then
share with us on that one, just to, you know, and in your process of that, because I think, you know, our club could benefit, but I love, I'm sure like a ton of our viewers would like love to know more about that stuff and getting totally involved in, you know, that whole process. Cause I know that's relatively new, but yeah, cool on that. So you, yeah, what else you got going on?
And then, so the other one is, so I've had last Christmas, so a month and or a year and a month ago, I'd bought a 3D printer. And it's been collecting dust because it's, I got one of the cheaper ones that needed a lot of help. And so I'm finally getting around to starting to work on that. And I figured, well, I got a dedicated computer to it. And so I started moving computers around in the shack, and it's been a headache. So I got a video card to upgrade the one that I want to use for the shack, but then power supplies and connectors and Molex plugs. It's just, you know, I don't do it often enough. So it's a guessing game right now, but I'll be, yeah, go ahead, Todd.
No, that's what happened with me. I got the video card and I needed to get a new power supply. And then I really needed to get a new board, and I ended up getting basically a new computer.
So yes.
I just wanted one upgrade. Look what happened.
But. Oh yeah. So, but it'll be nice when it's done. I'll hopefully get it wrapped up this week and, get everything moved around. So cool. That is what's been going on this week.
So your 2.0 version of the shack conversion hasn't really occurred. You're like on 1.6 or 1.7 right now, based off all the stuff you're changing.
Well, the big conversion will be when I take everything out and I insulate the floor and insulate the walls and run, you know, 220 for a future amp and, you know, do the sub panel and get that all wired up. So that'll be a very nice transition. So I'm not cold in the basement anymore.
Warmth by the amplifier.
That's right. Yes.
Well, although what amplifier do you have? Because a lot of the solid state ones I hear are pretty, you know, they cool better than the, you know, the old tube style. So you might not get the warmth you might really, really need.
Right. Yeah. So currently don't have any amp. I'm just running barefoot. So, but it'll be, the shack will be wired up for 220.
You didn't pull the string on the deal.
No, once I get
the $1,500 off, it'll come back.
Yeah, once I have. So we're talking about the Flex amp, and once the shack is rebuilt and everything's ready to go, and it'll be plug and play, so I can just order it then.
Yeah.
Well, right, but so then you're still missing that little integral piece that you need the tuner in between the TGXL, right? So yes, you need the TGXL, which is another, I don't know what number it's in the 45, five, but yeah, exactly. Four or five figures. Yeah. And then you got the PGXL. So yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. Yeah. We'll have to definitely come over and drill.
Yeah. I mean, when it's ready, I'll pull that trigger, but not right now.
All the affordable Flex stuff, right? No, not at all.
Cool. All right. Well, sounds like a little few struggles there, but nothing you can't overcome and get closer. So good to hear on the Go Box there. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the new, you know, interconnect standards, and you know, hopefully, you know, we can do an episode on that. And
question for you guys: one of the decisions I have to make is, what do you think would be the most predominant type of headset people use at field day? Would it be a electric microphone, a dynamic, or a gaming PC? Because Mark on his website, you know, he has or an XLR. Not going to be using XLR, but there's four different types of microphones that can accommodate, but I have to buy based on what I own. And I own both, you know, dynamic and electric, but
so what
do you guys think? Why don't you just use the headset?
Well, what type of, it depends on what each person has or what they own. Do you have a Heil, you know, regular headset? Did you switch it over to dynamic, or are you using a regular gaming PC?
Is dynamic. That's dynamic. Yeah. The ICOM only makes one specific Heil 6 Pro 6 or 7. That's Electreat. Yeah. So the 7 has the Electreat component, which is the, you know, the, what you need to interface with that weird connector or whatever ICOM uses for connectors.
And so on mine, I bought my microphone. I can do either one. So I have both.
Okay.
And I'm drawing a blank on the brand name. What is it? Radio City or Radio
Radio
Radioxity?
Radio Sport. No, Radio Sport.
So yeah. Radio Sport, you know, that's, I'm not sure if what type of microphone they have, but so I need to accommodate for whoever's going to be sitting next to the Go Box on their specific microphone.
I thought the interconnect standard, at least the box that Schmitty was providing, was supposed to be able to handle any headset type, and it was only the radio part that you had to be concerned with.
But you still have to configure it, so it can handle it whichever one you purchase.
Yeah.
So
but
I basically have to purchase four different
We got to have him on because I think, you know, him explaining the standard a little bit, because I always thought there was just like a two box setup. One was for the radio side that was specific to the radio. And then one was the, what we'll call client side, which it didn't matter what type of headphone or mic input or, you know, whatever, you know, interface you were interfacing to, that box was then supposed to be able to talk to that other box that was supposed to interface with the radio. But yeah, that's how I interpreted, but you know, I could be wrong.
Picture schematics come in handy here. So that's when I would be doing some arts and craft with some drafting program here to sketch it out. But it'll be neat when it's all connected.
Well, as a proud member of Team ICOM, I got to say Electret.
AARP, you mean?
There we go.
Yeah, so yeah, we joke tongue in cheek here, but we all love radios. Every radio is loved by all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're
Yazoo. That's so PC.
You know what? Come on, dude. I'm just trying to make friends here, and you know, not enemies. we know ICOMs are 20-year-old technology and still superior to what Yazoo can put out in the market today. You know, though that their radios are less than 5 years old, but it's not the age.
True story.
So, all right, cool. Well, I'll have to make sure I make a note here to circle back around, see if we can get Smitty on to have him chit chat about that stuff. I think we have a blast talking about some of those things. I mean, he definitely would geek out and go way over our heads in terms of the conversation, but it might be a very good one at that. So we'll have to get that on the plan there. So Absolutely. Cool. Well, yeah, looking forward to your Go Box there and see where we go. And we'll definitely have to dive deeper into that rat hole, because we all know that once Ryan does something, we're all going to follow suit just shortly after. So it's all good. So with that, well, over to our esteemed general. What's going on with your Ham Radio Week?
Well, speaking of Go Boxes, Friday, if everything works out, I'll be starting that over with Ryan. Took the day off, and I think he's off, so we're going to start that off. But what I've done, and I was very psyched about it, is I had to bring my mother on Wednesday to the airport down in Logan. And on the way back, I stopped at Constitution Beach State Park, which is right at the end of the Logan runway. Planes are taking off and leaving. There's a train station. Trains going by. It's quite noisy. And
Noisy for sure.
I was told that it's a tough park to activate just because there's a lot of interference. And of course, I get there at 4 o'clock, and there's a big sign that says this park closes at 5 o'clock. Now I'm like, I'm doing it. I went there over the summer, didn't do it. It was buggy. It was hot. There's a lot of people playing music. I'm like, nope, I'm doing it. So I set up, just hoping to maybe get 10. Well, 38 minutes. It's a new record for me. 64 contacts.
Woo! Wow. Nice
job. I called CQ 3 times, and on the 3rd time, it was just a pile up, and I could have kept going, but the park ranger pulled up next to me. Because I was in my car, my antenna was out the passenger side window, and I'm in my car and I'm doing a thing, and he just looks at me, doesn't say a word, doesn't roll down his. I go, I gotta go. He's like, yep. So I had to go, and someone's like, can I just get? I go, I gotta go. The ranger goes, just one more. So I worked one last station. I know, I'm always guilty of it.
Yeah,
and packed everything up. I didn't even get to put the stuff down. I had to throw it all in the back of the Jeep. My antenna's not even like half taken down. I drove out of the park. He locked the gate, and I was parked on the side in East Boston putting all my stuff back together. And I didn't even I really honestly, I didn't even know until I kind of had an idea. But then when I actually looked at it and I looked at the times, I was like, that's amazing. I mean, I was getting 2 or 3 a minute.
Wow.
You know, nonstop.
Well done. Like,
it was crazy. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a good activation. And it was on the...
How was the propagation? Was it healthy?
Yeah, I was on 20 meters, and it was I had no noise, and it was pretty good. There was a guy who probably slowed me down a little bit, because I could have had a few more. He was given only the suffix of a call sign, and he was coming in like 5'9", and every time I tried to get the other guy that I was working, he'd throw out this thing, and I told him, I said, listen, SPD or whatever you were, I said, if you interrupt me again, I'm never answering you. So just, I'll get you next. So then I worked the guy, and then I said, okay, the station ending in XPD, and I get nothing. And then the next guy I got, he goes, that guy's not a legit ham. He's just on there. He was doing that to us the other day too. Oh, wow. He just interrupts you as you're doing it, but he's not like he doesn't have a call sign. He just makes up the letters or whatever. So I was that was the only the little flutter. But besides that, it was great. This was the first time I actually had to call out K's only, you know, W's wow. only, N's only, because I couldn't. There's just too many. It just turned into blur.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
So fun. Next time you have a rogue operator there, you know, jumping on you, should throw some, you know, come back to him and say, hey, we know how to locate you. You know, we're going to do a DF steer and pinpoint your location. And, you know,
we're always watching
them. Yeah. I don't know. It was fun though. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting maybe, you know, hopefully just to activate the park, and it was much better. So it was good. And I hadn't been out since New Year's Day, so I was kind of itching. If I don't get out and do a POTA at least once or twice a month, I start getting start thinking I forget how to do ham radio, but that wasn't the case. And then winter field day, I worked the overnight, and I got like 84 contacts working my flex through my iPad while I was at work. As a home user. And most of the people I got were home users in the middle of the night, 3-4 in the morning. So I did like an hour or so, and then I took a break, and then I did 80 and 40, and I kind of, what do you call it, like hunted. Like I went after the stations that were calling CQ, and then I decided to call CQ. It's more fun calling CQ once you get people to answer you.
You know, Todd, I was down in the hotel during winter field day on the iPad using my Flex, and I had a blast. You know, it was the first time using it. I have not set up. I need to either get some Apple earpods or something. So
Todd's
aside from that. Aside from the audio issue of just having to talk through the iPad, it was really neat. So I worked this one guy who's down in Florida here, and I was talking to him, and he thought I was up in New Hampshire. And so I'm looking him up on QRZ as I was talking to him. And he was literally like 2 blocks down the road from me. So my hotel was right up the road from him. So,
so you were working him from New Hampshire, but he was like
right down the road from the hotel.
You should have gone down and knocked on his door. Hey, thanks for the contact.
Oh, he was in Florida, but yeah.
Yeah, he had quite the setup, so it wouldn't have been difficult to find it in the neighborhood. So,
Ryan, what I use at work, I got this Blue Parrot headset, right? And this thing is designed for iPhones and iPads. It says it right on it. It works awesome. I like it. It only has one, you know, headset, but it's kind of good for me because I got to hear if the kids wake up or whatever. So, and then I got this.
Goes, Bluetooth?
Yeah, it's Bluetooth. There's no delay or anything. It works really well, and the battery lasts forever. And then I forget what this thing is called, but it's a little button. And it – if you go on to the Flex radio in the middle, there's that thing. It has all the things. It has this button on it. I got it on Amazon. It's like $20, but this is the push to talk.
Okay.
So I leave it on my fingers. I go check the kids that are sleeping every 15 minutes. I'm waiting to pile up, and then I have the headset on. It's Bluetooth. I could just call it right in there. And it was kind of like ironic. Like every time I'm trying to make the contact. I got to go check the kids. And then I'm halfway across the room and I call and the guy calls me back. I got to run back to log them in. But yeah, this thing is really, I mean, it's definitely, I love it for the iPad, because when I started using my iPad, I was just using bone conducting my headphones or the iPad, and people were complaining about the audio and saying that it wasn't working right. So I ended up getting these. I did some research on it, and now everyone's like, yeah, your audio is great. So
cool. Yeah, we'll have to post that link on our
site. Yeah, and I think, I don't know if this one has the noise. I think it might have noise canceling too. I'm not sure.
Yeah. One just for one ear, right?
Yeah, for one ear. Well, when I mean, I think more for the mic, like it muffles out the, you know, the external sound, such as, you know, phones ringing.
There's a couple options. I just needed to bring something with me so I can plug in. So.
Yeah, I tell you, it's awesome, especially when the bands are going and I got nothing to do. And then if you're ever like out or up like me and you're bored, you just put on 80 meters and you'll be very entertained. I think I'm going to make some videos of that. Because you'd be surprised of what people are fighting about on 80 meters at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, why aren't you people sleeping?
I've heard it. It's crazy. So, hey, Eric, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what you got?
What do you have cooking for 2024? There's a lot of things going on. And what do you have cooking on your calendar? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I guess before we dive into the topic, I think the host should figure out what's with my ham radio week. But we had this discussion when George was on. He felt my pain and understood that, you know, just skip like, you know, right over the host. No big deal. Yeah, just quick summary since Ryan's hot to trot there to get into the topic tonight. So, you know, I've been struggling with my FTM 300, audio receive woes. You know, audio just totally cut out, disappear. And I've been beating my head against, you know, my dash constantly trying to figure out whether it was just a radio, a switch panel, you know, the whole nine yards. Long story short, I dug out another 300 I bought for satellite work and threw it in place. And magically, the speaker's working 100%. So all of the undoing of wires and everything, you know, so I emailed Yaesu using Todd's suggestion, and they got back to me, and so that unit's going to be shipped off tomorrow, so I'm hoping to get that fixed, hopefully maybe under warranty. I don't know, it's like really close, so we'll see how that one goes. I sadly have bad news, because in all of that big craziness of trying to get my 300 to work, my All-Star Clear Node Zero and that I have in the truck, the SD card basically cooked itself from too many reboots. The problem with the clear nodes that people that have them might know is that it's a custom, you know, firmware flash, and the only place that can do it is the guy who creates a clear node. So I got an email out to him. Hopefully he can flash my card again and or send me on another one. I can send them back this one or, you know, something, you know, in the process to get that back up and running. So, you know, I was kind of bummed about that because I was looking for, you know, to get contacts or back onto the All-Star, network again. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about the whole Winter Field Day stuff that Todd kind of touched on. I was super psyched with our Winter Field Day. Now, we did, you know, it's probably kind of the most ragtag kind of put together, whatever, you know, scenario we did. But we had a blast. I know Paul was there and he did the whole overnight, did a video on it. You can go check that one out. Paul made the intro there, but, you know, for his 3 seconds of fame, as they say. But the big highlights that I love, the fact that we had two brand new technicians show up, a whole family actually, and they spent the whole entire Saturday there playing radio, hanging out, having a blast. And, you know, the wife, Christine, and we don't have her call sign yet. She's still waiting for that to come in. She was on HF making contacts left and right, you know, dealing pileups, you know, she was phenomenal in the whole process. Go ahead, Ryan, you had a question.
Well, I was just going to comment. So Paul was with Christina and they were, working,
10 meters.
Yeah. Was it 10 meters?
Yeah. It was 10 meters.
So I was in the hotel on the Flex through the iPad and I was working them back and forth. So,
oh, no way. I didn't know that. I
made a contact with them.
Yeah. And you came through fantastic, by the way. Like it was crystal clear.
But I was only, you know, 20 miles away.
Yeah. Hey, who did I work you, Paul, at night? Who did I work at night? I worked the club. I don't know who it was though.
Well, it would have been either probably me or John. What is it? Casey won IBL. Is that it?
ICL. Yeah, but it was ICL. I only got the club call sign. Well, I couldn't hear.
Which band was it on? 20?
40.
Oh, so it might have been. I don't know. It might have been you, probably Paul. I'll have to go back and look at logs, but yeah, it could have been.
Yeah,
Paul.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm just curious. But yeah, that yeah, that's pretty cool. I saw your video on your YouTube page, and yeah, that is that the wife, I'm guessing. And Paul's like, wow, she's even worked a small pile.
Oh, yeah,
like she was cruising, like no fear, like right into it. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, and then yeah, I think it was
talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was so amazing, right? Because you know, like. I walked her through the kind of the script of field day and how to call CQ. And, so, you know, after she called for about a half an hour, you know, she kind of had it down pat. But then her 10-year-old daughter came in and she was kind of looking over her shoulder and, you know, interested. So Christina says to her, she says, well, do you want to try it? And I said, well, here, let me write out a new script, because we had, you know, crossed out things and wrote over things on the script that Christina was using. So I wrote it nice and clear on a fresh sheet of paper. And yeah, I mean, it took her a little bit, but man, it was something special to see a 10-year-old girl get so excited to start making contacts on HF. And so I think she'll be the next newest technician.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. She, and I wish I caught it on video. She had that one contact I kind of walked in on the last minute where she was talking to another guy, and the other guy on the other end noted it, really realized that she was just new to this whole process. And he, like, if I could figure out what his call sign was or the club call sign, I want to just send him an email and tell him thank you, because he was so gracious, so like encouraging, so like, you know, glad this is your first contact, was really super patient through the whole process, so she yep. like didn't have to feel like she was messing up or screwing up, and you know, she was just like grinning ear to ear when she finally got off that whole thing. And I was just like, oh yes, this is exactly what I like to see.
Yeah, no, it was great. For the most part, the stations that she was answering, or the stations that were answering her CQ, were very patient and understanding that, you know, it was clearly a young voice on the air. And you could tell that, you know, there was a bit of an experience there, and everybody was very, very patient with her, and very encouraging.
Cool. Yeah. And I don't want to, like, I can't dive into too much about the CW stuff, but I know Tim, who is our, you know, he's been on, I can't remember what episode it was for us, but he's been on other times too, as well, on our live streams. He finally dived into the CW foray, and him and another club member, took it on and ran our club call doing CW, and they did phenomenal, and they were having a blast over in their tent. So it was just, you know, fun all around and great memories. So I was like, that's exactly what I wanted out of field day. You know, I'm not a big points guy. I don't really care what our score is. You know, I enjoy setting up antennas and, you know, hanging out and socializing, but more so playing radio. That just makes it so much better for me. So yeah, that was what my ham radio week was like. And so that was it in a nutshell. So,
yeah. Very cool. Yeah, shout out to Tim KC1QDK. He took my son Zach and he taught him how to do his name in CW.
Oh, very cool.
And he had a key set up where you could actually hear it. It wasn't broadcasting. So he worked it. Zach was talking about it. He came home and told everyone, oh, I did my name, and
very cool.
So. He was pretty psyched about that.
Cool. All right. So to dive into tonight's topic. So Ryan, what was your question about 2024 and whatnot? And I can try to.
Well, so what are you guys looking forward to in 2024? Are there any highlights you want to make sure you absolutely accomplish? And kind of what's your big picture viewpoint looking forward?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's loaded, but I'll try to give it in small snippets, and then maybe we can kind of dive around and add to it. My biggest thing, I guess, for 2024 for me is, you know, and I'm going to have to pull Todd into this one with me, is I want to get our dual kilo. I think that's going to be the biggest target that I'm going to be shooting for. And it's short term. You know, I would assume before field day, we should have our dual kilo. But, you know, if everything goes well and the weather turns to better, you know, spring, you know, like weather, I'm definitely going to be out there working, you know, the rail trail and trying my hardest to get that. And I know I can do it pretty quickly because I did one for my Reed's Ferry one, and that one worked, you know, I got that done in literally 3 days. So I think once we kind of spread the word a little bit more and, you know, people start hearing us more, Todd, as we get closer, we'll, you know, all of a sudden it'll in short term, we'll be there. So that's the biggest thing for me. I've got some smaller stuff that we can touch upon, but, you know, I'm curious to see, you know, where you guys got it. So, you know, passing the baton, you know, where are you at, Ryan, with your 2024?
Yeah, I picked my dates.
Well, yeah, excellent. So, you know, it's kind of three different categories or a couple different categories. You know, one is the expos. So there's many options we have in the U.S. here, big and small, local and national. And then, you know, there's the shack projects. What do you want to do around the shack and get built and assembled and all that? And then the third one is things like, you know, the POTA events and the soda and the club field day and those fun social activities. So, you know, for me at around the shack, I have a big interest in getting a big square loop NVIS antenna set up. So I've been cracking the league radio book and kind of doing some more research and poking around on websites and seeing what other people have done and what's worked well for them. And so I'm putting some thought into that. But for me, the big thing is actually starting and getting the momentum going for some POTA. So
That'd be awesome.
Yep. I definitely want to start with some sodas. There's a bunch, you know, we live in New Hampshire. We've got some great mountains. So Todd, I took your advice and I got the that tactical backpack. So I can pack the 705 and the buddy stick and all the accessories into one bag, and you know, it's not super lightweight, but it's portable.
Curious, which bag?
511.
Yeah, the 511. Good bag. 37 liters.
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's real sturdy. Okay. It's one size up larger than Todd's.
All right.
And
We had talked, and I had said that everything fits. Like, I don't have any room for really anything else if I bring it all. So I said, if I was going to do it again, I'd probably get a little bit bigger one. But
yep.
Yeah, we'll throw show notes in the show note links there too as well. So if you're looking for that
one. Absolutely. So for me is actually pulling the trigger and getting some soda and POTA accomplished. So that'd be the big thing.
Let me ask you, POTA, yeah, I can get it. I mean, like between the three of us here, and you know, I would say Paul is a big proponent of Russell Abbott. You know, that's a great place to start, and that's literally probably right down the street from you. And I know Todd and I could throw in, you know, everything. But so back to soda, I'm curious because I wanted to start to do soda, but I know I got to work my hiking legs first before I start thinking about actually doing a point, you know, or something similar. So are you looking to do something more smaller, or are you like really going big guns?
Well, I'd probably start off, first mountain will be Monadnock, because that's, I mean, you can run up Monadnock in under an hour. And
we'll meet you up there.
Yeah.
If you can run,
we'll start the POTA activation and you can hike up and do the soda.
And then, you know, once, you know, so that'll be a trial run, and then start hitting the White Mountains. You know, there's 48 peaks. So
I know a lot.
So those of you that don't know Pac Monadnock, you can actually drive up there. Eric and I have gone up there a few times too, but I know on soda you can't drive.
No, so I'm Monadnock, not Pac Monadnock.
Yeah. Oh, the bigger one. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Yep. My bad.
You might have to helicopter in on Mount Monadnock, but you know, like, hey, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, well, to answer your question, Eric, some you know, New Hampshire White Mountains. So,
Okay.
Cool.
That means I have to redefine my whole backpack scenario now. Well, question was like, Paul, you've got a backpack. You boiled yours down, right? I think you said you got it down to less than 30 pounds.
Yeah. So the original bag is now my, my 7,300 bag. So if I'm going to pack the 7,300 instead of the 891, I have the bigger bag, which, I'll throw the link in. It's the same bag that a lot of the guys are using. It was an HRO bag, the Expedition something. It's a really nice bag. It's tall, but the wife got me a. It's almost like a swimming bag. So the outside is all waterproof, and the bottom opens up, and if you've got anything that's wet, you can put it in the bottom, and it keeps it completely separate from everything else. But it's got a lot of smaller compartments and things, which is what I wanted for organization. So now the 891 POTA bag is about 20 to 25 pounds, and it's very minimalist. It's just a 12 amp hour battery. The Reliance Bug Out EnFed half wave, no tuner needed or anything. So it's just my little tablet for logging on hammers, and yeah. I plan to maybe rope Ryan in this year, because since we're talking about, you know, 2024 goals, one of the things that's been on my bucket list for several years, and my body hasn't cooperated, is to hike Tuckerman's and then set up on the top of Mount Washington and transmit. And that's going to be my first SOTA.
Well, awesome. Todd and I will sign, drive sign up Mount Washington. You guys can hike Tuckerman. Todd and I will
drive that one. Yeah.
Sign me up. That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Well, remember, this is all recorded, guys. So we got to make sure that, people do listen.
They'll be like, so what's your 2028 thing? I'm going to go up to Tuckerman's.
So Ryan, we'll put it in the books for July.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
I got weather up there in July.
I'm making note of it right now. All right. July Mount Washington.
July Mount Washington.
You might want to put the year there. Put 2024. So you're like, oh, was that 2030?
Hey, so I'm all about getting in shape this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a few things I want to do. Like, one for us or the club is I want to do the 24-hour POTA activation, I think, at Greenfield State Park. I think that would be fun, kind of be like an extra little field day. Just start calling CQ, use club call sign, or if we get a call sign. You said, Eric, we might be able to get a call sign for the
date. Yeah, I'm for the working podcast. On that for our club. So eventually the Live Free and Ham podcast will be a – not an ARL affiliated club, but a ARL acknowledged club. So we'll have our own club call sign. So stay tuned for some of that. Then we'll share more once we get there. So
either one, and just kind of see if we can activate the park for 24 hours and maybe spread the word. And I've spread it a little bit, but I got to call the ranger, and they're a little slow this time of year because I've dealt with it with the float fly there. So I think by next month, they start answering calls and making decisions and see what they say. And then as for the shack, I've got a few things I got to do. I pretty much got my computer and everything all set. My radio is working well. But I do need to do the grounding and the line input, with the box. And then, the other big thing is my DX Commander that's still sitting in the box that is going up.
Okay. Mr. Ham Radio 2.0.
Huh?
We'll call you Ham Radio Jason 2.0.
Oh, because he's got his in the box. Yeah,
he's supposed to in a box. What are you talking about? He's got the first version and then like the latest one that Lord Callum sent him.
Yeah, well, it's sitting here, and it's I think mine's the newer one. I got it in the spring last year, so it's only a year old. But
just real quickly, I haven't followed. What did he change? What's new on it? Is it minor changes or major?
Three things. He changed the spreader plates. They're different. The what he calls the doingies are now actually different. And then the collar connectors, where you separate and twist the mast, there's now like a collar lock to each of the masts to keep it from collapsing. So, and he did that across, I think, all of the models, including the Expedition too. So, definitely good. And the plates are black, so they blend in with the antenna, which is nice.
I really want to get a vertical. I mean, I've had a lot of luck on my vertical on my for my POTA. Wire. So I'm what?
I was gonna say your wire antenna, but yeah.
No. I mean, when we're doing POTA, I'm always on the vertical, right? Or most of the time. So I wonder if getting a vertical, if I'm going to be able to maybe pull out more West Coast stations. I don't know. We'll see.
During field day, when I set up my crank IR, it's a vertical. It's awesome. It performs really well.
Yeah.
And routinely we'll get, you know, California on the mighty 7,300, 100 watts at field day, you know. It's great.
Well, Flex was on a wire, was getting New Zealand and stuff on 20 meters, which was, they're nowhere to be found anymore. It's like depressing. Yeah. I look for them. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll hear them. Because over the summer, it was like every station was Australia and New Zealand. Like you had your pick there. I was getting bored with them. Now I'm like, oh, it'd be great to work one of them again. But they'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. Basically. Those are the two things really I want to do. I'm hoping I don't have baseball. And even if I do have baseball, I might just tell them I'm away that weekend. And I really want to just enjoy field day, do the whole thing and stay there, hang out, and not have to be back and forth like I have been.
And you'll get to be an extra on field day.
Oh, what'd you say?
You'll get to be an extra on field day.
Yeah, we'll hope. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Well, the club calls an extra, so you know at least. Have that.
Yeah, yeah. But someone would have to be sitting with me. No one stays up at 4 a.m. Remember that one year I get in the tent, and I come out, and like, what the hell is everyone? There's no fire going on. Like nowhere. It's like black. I don't have my flashlight, and there's no one around.
We're all getting our Z's. We work the whole entire day.
Yeah.
So, guys, what about some expos? Are there any you want to visit again? Are there any the bigger national ones you want to attend? What are your thoughts on that?
I'd love to go to one of the big ones.
Both of them or just one?
Well, ideally, I'd like to go to all of them, but I would just enjoy one would be, I think, a good start in the – I just think it would be awesome. Like at least coming one where there's all the vendors are.
Yeah, coming up right around the corner, February 9th to the 11th is Hamcation down in Orlando, Florida. And then the next big one is Hamvention, May 17th and 19th. That's out in Dayton, Ohio. And then there's the CPAC all the way over on the left coast in Oregon, May 31st to June 2nd. We have the Ham Exposition in Mass, August 22nd to the 25th. There is a Pacificon, San Ramon, California, October 18th to the 20th. I tried looking on the website. There's the, which I attended two times in the past, the QSO Today Academy, the virtual expo. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. They didn't have a date posted for this year yet. So I'm hoping they do.
They changed the format around. Again. They aren't doing that any longer. Just a kind of a sign-on, gated... kind of all year round type thing.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah. I must have missed that.
Yep.
I enjoyed it in the past. I thought that was a great idea.
Is that the one?
Obviously, it was all virtual online. It was kind of Zoom.
Right. And they had all the different classes or whatever, the presentations.
Yeah. And obviously, it was geared towards, the whole COVID experience. But, and then, there's the smaller Near Fest for New England. April 25th and 26th. The spring one is only going to be Thursday and Friday. I think they're going to expand it out again on the fall version. And then June 22nd and 23rd is the weekend for field day. So that's kind of what's on the calendar. And I don't know if based on my work schedule and everything, if I have time, I hit some of the big ones, but definitely Ham Exposition, the Near Fest, and obviously field day are on the calendar for me. But Paul, what do you think?
So I had a question, right? Now, for those of us like myself who have never been to a hamvention of any sort, shape, or form, what should we expect when we go to these events for the first time? Is it like going to the Hollis Flea Market?
But I'd say, Near Fest is like that. Near Fest is a ham radio flea market. Is the best correct way to describe it.
Versus if you drive the other direction, similar distance down to in Mass to the Ham Exposition, they have a lot more seminars and talks, and it's much more educational. So that one's fascinating. But it's not until you get to the big ones, you know, the Hamcation, the Hamvention, where all the big manufacturers show up and are showing the latest and greatest of what they're pushing to the public. Well, so
there's a size thing too, like a Ham Expo up by us is growing, I'll say, but like on terms of scale, it's really just like a couple of conference rooms and a few small side places, and then a small flea market or you know, kind of ham you know, trade, you know, kind of thing in the parking lot. You go to like Dayton, and this is only what I see online, but you go to Dayton or you go to Hamcation, and it's like acres and acres of like a flea market, but then like they have five outbuildings and five manufacturers, and everybody's like doing their like latest and greatest of like, you know, new toys, and you know, all the guys like Flex and Ellacraft, and everybody shows up. It's like almost mandatory if you want to, you know, make up you know, yourself known to show up to either of those events. And the other one too, that did we mention what was the other one down in Mississippi? It's
I did not mention that. I saw it listed. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I'm just forgetting. A lot of the YouTubers go to that one and they do a POTA activation out there. But that's kind of the thing is, you know, it, when you go to these events, you walk around the expos and then you, you know, you kind of hit the flea markets and then maybe hit a few, you know, kind of symposiums or talks.
Okay. Yep. So the really big ones are set up kind of like a SHOT Show kind of exposition where you've got all the different vendors and they're showing their latest and greatest. But then the smaller ones are more flea market style.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's in Marlboro, there's a smaller flea market, like maybe two rows of people selling stuff. Where Near Fest, it's like the whole thing is, I mean, they might have one or two classes, but it's all everyone's selling everything and anything. So if you're like a collector of old stuff, like there's some really cool stuff in there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, you could probably find anything you need. A lot of people, you do a lot of networking, you know, local people, New England, you talk to and see what's going on. So, but you have to go in there and knowing what you want because there's just so much stuff. So if you're looking for, like I was looking for, what was I looking for? A dummy load. And I just never got one when I went to Marlboro because I finally got one, but, I think I got one from right. You got. I got it when I bought that antenna, didn't I? How did I get my?
You got it from the candy store?
No. Where did I get it from?
You must have, or buy it from Bill. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. Somehow I got a dummy load. I don't know. I got it from that guy. The guy that I bought the antenna for the.
You mean the one wearing the trench coat, actually selling you stuff on the back alley?
No, the guy you gave it to me in the box. Remember, he was selling it.
Oh, yeah. So the other ham that was selling stuff on our Discord. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. So I got that. I got the antenna and I got a Keir that he threw in there. So I was like, sweet. But yeah, I mean, we did at Marlboro, we did a live podcast when we first started last year.
Yeah.
And that was fun.
We'll be there this year too.
Hopefully we'll do it again. So that was kind of cool. We were kind of going live and then we were interviewing some people and stuff, so that was kind of fun. And I want to go to one of the big ones. And then what I was talking about is I don't know if it was Jason from, you know, Ham Radio 2.0, but you know how he does that Overlander stuff. I guess there is a big show in like Arizona or New Mexico something.
Quartz Festival.
But he said there's a lot of hams there, and it's like it's almost like a combination of two. It's like the Overlander and the hams together, and there's a lot of ham radios, you know, stuff going on there too. So
yeah, there's plenty of reasons then for somebody who's never gone to a hamvention type of event to attend for the first time.
I mean, yeah. So like Near Fest for us, you know, the club gets together, we go get breakfast. Where is that? Mary Ann's, or is that what it's called? Eric?
Joe's.
Yeah, a local cafe nearby.
Yeah. Joe's. So you go get, oh, is it Joe? You go get a breakfast. Is it Mary Ann's? What is that?
Mary Ann's is in Derry.
All right. No, never mind. Well, there's one here in Amherst now, too. They took over another diner. But anyway, you go do that. And then Eric and I went up. Everyone skies their own way. Then you run into everyone when you're up there. And so it's fun. It's definitely it's a good time. It's if you want to sell stuff, you can sell stuff there too if you want.
Yeah.
Hey, I got welcome. I got my general Marlboro. So that was
That's the other thing guys, too. Like a larger ham fest usually tend to have like the actual testing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think for my vantage point, like Dayton would be great. I know we kind of tossed around the idea of, you know, maybe doing a private fly to said Dayton as a, you know, maybe as a Live Free and Ham. We'll have to not plan for this year, but the year after, maybe someday on the bucket list. But
hey, Ryan, is the Gulfstream in use that day?
We know a pilot.
We are space limited. So,
well, four, right? So there is four hosts, correct?
Well, in order to make it nonstop to carry the fuel, it'd be two adults and that's it. So,
and I'd have to lose a ton of weight because yeah, body count is two.
All right. We're doing a road trip then.
There you go. Road trip. Yep.
I'll drive. Probably be, you know, okay. Sounds good to me. Yeah, so Dayton would definitely be, you know, everyone always says go to at least once, you know, and I'm sure I'll probably, you know, put it on my bucket list someday. Hamcation, probably the same thing. They're, you know, I'm more of a social guy. I like to be able to, like, you know, hang out and, you know, do stuff at those types of events. And you can usually, but a lot of times it's just, you know, there's just a mob of people and, you know, most people are there for, like Todd said, you got to get a radio, you got to get a, you know, part or whatever. And you just kind of like fight and struggle to, you know, find the right stuff at the right timing. And then, you know, you get to see all the great toys, but you know, I can, you know, it's the 21st century. They do all that online now. So, you know, that's just kind of, so I'd go for the social aspect of anything.
Well, I could see, you know, especially for someone like myself who likes to try and do everything on a shoestring budget and get, you know, as much used equipment as possible and make it still work. You know, you could save a few dollars by attending an event like that and being patient and kind of taking a look at everything.
Right.
Yeah. Or it could totally backfire on you and be like, wow, look at all this cool stuff. I'm totally broke now.
Yeah. The right, you know, the norm, but well, yeah.
who is that guy at our club meeting that, or was it Dennis? And he was saying that how he buys the stuff. He wants one thing, he buys the whole thing, and then he sells the other stuff, and he ends up getting it, right? Wasn't he talking, yeah, was that with him?
He goes into estate sales, and he buys like a gazillion pieces of random radio gear, takes what he wants, parts it out, and sells it off again. And, you know, he did a great video on GSR's website, if you ever want to check it, called The Life of a Horse Trader.
Smart,
yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was actually a very good presentation.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah. So have you been to any like of those like large events at all, Paul?
I've never been to any of those events.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you're definitely. Well,
I guess you're coming to Near Fest at Marlboro this year.
Yeah. Well, so I will say this. I avoid Massachusetts like the plague. So I'm happy to ride with somebody else.
I can ride with. We'll drive down.
I'm born and raised in Mass, so I can handle it.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind driving in Mass. I just really, it does something to my anxiety for whatever reason. My anxiety level goes through the roof as soon as I cross the border. I can go to Maine and feel comfortable and fine. I can go to Vermont and feel comfortable and fine, but I cross that southern border and it just gives me all kinds of anxiety.
We'll keep that in mind, but yeah. I remember, well, Horse Traders is kind of funny, and we should maybe touch upon this one. I keep calling it Horse Traders. It's not Horse Traders, Near Fest. This year, they ended up having a snafu, and I was kind of surprised by it, but, you know, at the same time, it's always been kind of a small venue, so, you know, they are shifting their usual dates. It's usually like a Friday, Saturday, and the big thing with Near Fest is that everybody comes on Friday, sets up, and then sleeps overnight, because it's basically a kind of four square, but whatever that horse, you know, animal kind of program is.
4-H.
Four seasons, you know, that's a hotel. So, you know, in all of that, they've been doing it for a while there, for what I recall, and they always would set up on Friday, and the big intrigue was, you know, you go set up and you set up inside and you camp there overnight all day Saturday, and then you leave late Saturday. Well, they ended up having a problem with scheduling. And so now they're sliding into Thursday, Friday. And like, I don't know about you, dude, I work, you know,
yep.
I don't think I'm going to be going this year, which is kind of a bummer.
Hmm.
Anybody planning on 10 and, you know,
well, that's just for the spring one. I'm hoping they get it sorted out for the fall event. And I've found over the years, the fall Near Fest tends to be a little bit more, visited by everyone. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, interesting.
I'm hoping the fall one will be the one we're used to.
Yeah, I'm hoping too. On the other side too is like with this insurge of new hams and people, you know, starting to really get into the hobby and seeing more of it, we'll see more people. You know, and the draw will be, you know, a little bit bigger. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I guess I don't know. Thursday for me, like Thursday Friday thing, you know, it's going to be really tough because it's like I enjoyed like having Friday because I could schedule everything pre in the week, and then Friday I'd be like, oh, I got the ham fest, and you know, everybody's all good. But you know, Thursday Friday is going to be a bummer. Well, sure, definitely be a smaller draw, and we'll have to, like you said, Ryan, shoot for, you know, the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But so
speaking of new hams, I was at my flying club had the Frozen Fingers, which is an event that we put on every February. And one of the guys that I've been friends with for a while since I joined the club, he had taken a break and he's now back, but he was one of the guys that taught me how to fly. And I was telling him about how I got in the ham rating. He goes, oh, I'm a ham. I'm like, you are? He goes, oh, yeah, I've never done anything with it. He goes, I got my technician license and he's still active. He's got a call sign. I'm like, well, you should come hang out with me once. I'm like, I can show you some. There's a lot of fun stuff going on now. So it's funny, like a lot of, I couldn't believe it. Like there's a lot of people out there that get their license and they don't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. So, I also saw Bob Cushman from, he used to own Cushcraft and Tenna's. He's still kicking around. And, you know, I've known him. He's friends with my parents. They have old cars together. Bob's got an amazing, car collection. And his other hobby is flying model airplanes. So I've flown a lot of planes with him, and he was there. So it was good to see him. And he asked how the ham radio stuff was going. I said, yep, it's going good. Technology is getting better. And yeah, so it's all good.
Why aren't you on the air more?
Well, it's not time. I try. I'm on the repeater a lot. Yeah, oh, Bob.
Himself.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got his light. He's done with it. I mean, he's just like, he brings his chair now to fly the plane because he's like, I can't stand up and look up. I get too dizzy. He's in his 80s, but he's a good guy. He's got a lot of neat stories. And his father created that that company when he was a kid. And when he was a kid, like when, you know, you and I were probably, you know, playing in the sandbox, he was making antennas. And he took it over from his father. And then I think he ended up selling it to like MFJ or something.
Yeah.
I don't know who he sold it to, but you know, you go over by the airport, where there's a, St. Mary's Bank. That was the Cushcraft like plant.
Oh, right
there in the Manchester airport. It's now a bank, but, I drove over there. When I took him to the airport once, he was going to see his daughter out in Colorado or something. And he goes, oh, let's go over to the bank. I'll show you where everything was. And so, but cool. Yeah, he's got some cool stories.
Cool. Well, so what, you know, we got the last topic, I guess we want to talk briefly because we could get really down a rabbit hole fast. It would be, the shacks. Like what big thing do we all want to move on this year, 2024 with shacks?
Okay, moving on.
yes, sir.
Well, like I said, I need to get my grounding done, and I need some help with that. So Ryan's going to hopefully we'll find some time and get that done. And I've been working on my shack pretty much, you know, last 6 months, and I think I've got it where I need it to be. And like I said, I'm get that done, and then I should I'll have to find something else to do to it.
Yeah. Cool. How about you, Ryan?
My big thing, Shaq's gone through a whole bunch of changes past several months, new radios and just layout and everything. I need to get to the state of just being comfortable operating everything, getting profiles set up on the Flex. I still want to get Node Red configured. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be super automated. I just it'd be more of a helper and an aid for, profiles, tuning, spin the tower, and I don't know, just kind of get a lot of the bigger bugs worked out, and I can get back to just rag chewing and contesting and playing FT8 and everything else that's associated with sitting in the shack. So I just need to spend more time down here and focused on this instead of rest of life.
You know, damn, life gets
getting in the way. Yeah.
Tell the family to put it on pause.
Right. So
cool. Right, well,
I was just going to say that's the big picture for this year.
Nice. Well, yeah, all of those check my boxes too, but not at your scale, just a little different. How about you, Paul?
Well, so I share Ryan's sentiment, right? In the desk is in a constant state of evolution, and I feel like I'm not able to truly enjoy sitting here and playing radio lately. You know, I'm working on several different projects all at once as far as the shack goes. I'm trying to get the ICOM 7300 set up so that I can remote in, and not only could I remote in, but I could also give access to soldiers who are deployed that are ham radio operators that want access to a radio, and say I could then send them, you know, the IP and the login, and then they could access my radio from wherever they're deployed. So I want to do that, and I want to get I just want to get things a little bit smoother, you know, get to where, you know, video editing, which right now I'm very much in the infant stage of learning, you know, is a little bit more comfortable, so it's not so time consuming, and I'm not sitting here wasting time trying to learn things, and I'm able to actually just sit here and enjoy the radio.
Yes. So basically what you're really saying is that you want a QA, you know, ham shack where you could do all the mess ups to, and then you just want it to automatically forklift itself right into production so you could just pull right up and, you know, okay, I'm ready to operate.
And even, you know, I mean, I was thinking about it, and it's like, you know, is it a matter of, you know, getting an additional computer to interface with the radio in a different way, and you know, how do I figure all this but I digress. Anyways, it's a never ending evolution, and it's all a ton of fun. So I think I'm right there with Ryan, and I just want to get things set so that I can sit here and I enjoy a rag chew.
Yeah. Yeah, man, just preaching to the choir, man, because I'm like sitting here going, like, I feel like I'm in not a comfortable sweater. I'm in, like, you know, my dress up clothes every time I sit in front of this, you know, computer, because there's always something that I'm a little bit off. It's not really right. Or, you know, the radio is just not like fully, you know, what I'll call baked in. And both of you guys are preaching my, where I'm at. Cause you know, it's sort of okay, but it's not right. It just doesn't feel like comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what I think I'd like to shoot for. But I think for me, I really want to start to set up more. I personally, you know, outside of, you know, my shack, I think the automation piece is a big thing for me. I finally spent like this entire weekend just doing a rip out of other, you know, or not a rip out, a reorganization of a lot of my stuff and cabling, and went through all of my inventory and relabeled stuff, because I was tired of finding, you know, that I would go into my ham boxes and spend 25 minutes rifling through stuff going, oh, I forgot I had this. Or I don't know, you know, where the heck this cable is. I know I bought this one cable. And then, you know what? You go and buy the cable again, and you have the cable pop up randomly somewhere. So I went through like a whole inventory this whole entire weekend. And finally, I think like a breath of fresh air is, like, you know, I guess the best way to describe it for me, because now I can sit there and go, oh, now I know I have a POTA box and all my POTA gear and anything I would do for POTA or SOTA is in there, and I can go in and grab it, and it's not like the radios, and I've got like actual space where I can drop my gear versus like just placing it down anywhere and hoping that, you know, it's still going to continue to stay where it's going to be until, you know, I get a chance to reorganize it. So there's that. And then I want to set up a little bit more like automation, more so, for being able to charge batteries. Like, I don't have a good solution for being able to charge batteries in a station where I can just like take my battery out, plop it down, and it's all ready to be plugged in and go. Because I don't know about you, like, you know, Todd said he forgot his transmitter to his radio for his planes. I've walked out the door with not remembering to bring a battery with me. And, you know, lo and behold, it's just like, kind of just, ruins the whole entire thing. But you just remember next time. So, or worse off, the my bigger problem is the battery just is not fully charged. So instead of doing a 45-minute POTA, I'm doing a 10-minute POTA because the radio shuts off.
End up like me on Friday of field day, winter field day, right? I didn't realize that I didn't charge my POTA battery after the last POTA. And so my other batteries were charged, but I grabbed the POTA battery first.
Oh.
And as I as I go to call, the guy was in Serbia, and he answers me back, and I go, oh, sweet. Nope, battery's dead. Shuts the radio off.
The radio shuts off. We've all lived that story over and over again.
Yeah, so you just need a spot where you can have your NoCo battery charger with your power pole connector, and you can just plug it in and go.
Well, yep. My biggest snafu in ham radio, I think, is when I drove all the way to Vermont to activate my first Vermont park, and I get all set up, and then I go for the coax, and yeah, I didn't bring any.
That's painful. You were pretty far at that point.
Right. I was far. I was like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah.
I did it like 2 weeks later. I'm like, that is what motivated me to get the bag to put everything in for POTA. So now everything fits in that bag. Like, I want to do POTA, I grab that. It's always ready. I never leave it not ready to go. So everything I need is in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing I really love doing, and just kind of to wrap this up, was I bought those Harbor Freight, like storage boxes, the yellow ones with the clear top. I just was like tired of having all of my elbows and, gender changers and connectors everywhere and in small little boxes. So I said, screw this. We're just going to buy a bunch of them. And I filled them all up. And now it's like, I'm like, okay, I know I have X number of these and I have, X number of these. I know what I'm actually missing now. So, versus like every time you go, oh, this BNC has got to go to female. Is that female or male? And you're just like kind of like pulling your hair out and you always end up bringing the wrong connector. I mean, Paul knows exactly. He's like, when I bought my hex beam, it's a BNC female, right? Yeah, it's or whatever. It's the opposite. I can't remember what it is. And of course, I brought the opposite of the wrong connector. So I'm ready to set this beam up and everything ready to play with it. Guess what? Can't play with the antenna because I don't have the right connector. Of course, Paul was like 5 minutes away. So, he came to my rescue. So saved the day. But anyway, so, all right. Well, that was kind of a good conversation. It's definitely got a lot of some fun stuff coming up on 2024. And I know as Todd talked about with the 24-hour POTA, we're going to be talking more about that because I think we're all psyched that we want to kind of do something together as Live Free and Ham and rope a bunch of other people in to come and maybe camp out for the weekend and have fun with it. But stay tuned for that. But outside of that, we always thank you guys for joining Live Free and Ham podcast. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, you can always connect with our show by leaving us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, as they help get the show in front of new listeners and the ham curious. And you can get all of our show's latest content information on all of our socials. And as always, if you want to help support the show, the reviews are obviously important, but you can help contribute to our Patreon and buy us a beer links as they help. And those links are in our show notes. And lastly, if you want to reach out to any one of our hosts, you can head over to our website at livefreeandham.com. As always, thanks again for listening. And from all of us at Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3.
7-3.